Several weeks ago, when Pastor Kerry Willis was with us, he talked about being a sanctuary and talked about how God wants us to be available to him to be a sanctuary. And I just, I love that message. I love what he said about it. I love this little chorus that we sing about it. And I love a verse in Romans chapter 12 that came to my mind and my heart. You know, I love to be in a service where I don't have to do anything. I don't have to preach. I just can kind of sit there and be quiet. And sometimes that's when I enjoy the most Bible study, because you hear the pastor or the preacher say something and think, wow, oh, that's so good. Or makes me think of another scripture. And that's kind of how I felt about 3 weeks ago when I heard Kerry Willis talking about sanctuary. It brought to mind a verse in Romans chapter 12. And I said, sometime I'm gonna talk about that in prayer meeting or on Sunday morning or Sunday night. I'm going to go back to that verse and look it up and think about it. And that's why we're at Romans chapter 12, verse 1 tonight. I want to step into the book of Romans to a great scripture and to a great calling for every Christian. Two things I want to say about this verse. Number one, it is for people who have chosen to follow Christ. If you've not yet chosen to follow Christ, this verse really doesn't make any sense at all. But if you've chosen to follow Jesus and you've made the decision to walk with him, I think this might be, to me, arguably one of the best verses in the whole Bible to study and to think about and say, God, apply it to my heart. And so I want to say to all of us tonight who are Christians, those that have been Christians a long time and those that are new on the trail and new on the journey, this verse, I believe, is really for you, and it's for me. And I want to say that it's for people of all ages. Everybody here tonight's fairly young, but it's really for people of all ages. Some younger than others, I know. This verse is a great verse. Now you're saying, Pastor, why don't you just get to the verse? Okay, but I still am not finished yet, because I'm just preaching from one verse, and you know, one verse sermons can't be very long, so I don't want to disappoint you tonight. You all have heard the name of the evangelist. It's coming. He was here a long time ago, early in my ministry. Starts with an M. Who? No, not him. Who? That's him, Stephen Manley. How many of you have heard Stephen Manley preach? Three of you. All right, four of you, five of you. He was here early on in my ministry. Stephen Manley, it was said, could preach a full year on one verse. That's what was said of Stephen. And I've heard him preach, and I'll tell you what, he could do that, it seemed like to me. God just gifted him sometimes to look at one verse, one thought, and just be able to sense and see things from the heart of God about it. Well, I think this verse in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, if you want to go ahead and turn there, if you want to have it in front of you, it's a powerful verse. The book of Romans is a powerful book with strong theological statements and great theology. Probably most people, or some people say, the strongest theological book in the Bible. It's certainly in telling the story of salvation and telling the story of sanctification. Although there's a lot of other passages that are important to understand, the book of Romans says a lot both about our core doctrines of salvation and sanctification. And part of Romans, I think of as being about holiness. What is holiness in the eyes of God? And what is meant by being sanctified? And this verse in chapter 12, verse 1, to me, is about that. So I'd like to take a few minutes tonight and just review it, maybe in my heart and your heart, and say, God, what would you say to me about holiness and the reality of relationship with you and what you want for us? Tonight, I want to read again what it says about being a living sacrifice. And that's the That's the idea tonight that I want to speak about for a few minutes and to think about. What does Paul mean by a living sacrifice? And why does he call every Christian to be a living sacrifice? And more importantly for me, what does that mean for me today as a Christian, 2019? What does it mean for you in your journey with God that God calls you, no matter how old or young you are, to be a living sacrifice for him? I think this idea and this truth is so important for every Christian to embrace and understand as God gives you an understanding of relationship with him. What does it mean that God calls you to be a living sacrifice? The writer of Romans, of course, is the Apostle Paul. And he takes, it seems to me, an image or a symbol from the whole history of God's revelation with man, and something that came to the people, especially the Jews, with a whole background of meaning and understanding the idea of sacrifice, especially. And Paul takes it and he brings it into the new church, into the new faith, and he really wraps around it such depth and meaning for the Christians, in the same way that the idea of sacrifices in the Old Testament meant something to every Jew. It meant something to the priesthood. It meant something to the leaders. It meant something to the people who went to Jerusalem every year for the Passover and the other festivals that took place. The sacrificial system of the Old Testament is key to understanding Judaism and how people thought and how they tried to serve God, and many did faithfully, and also to understand where it went wrong and why it wasn't sufficient and why Jesus needed to come. The sacrificial system of the Old Testament is so important, and not to be glossed over as far as understanding what Paul says here, and to understand that living sacrifice is about a living relationship with God, that we are Christians and we stand before a living God who interacts with us and wants to have an ongoing relationship with us. He wants to talk to us and hear from us. He wants us to learn about him and study him and trust him and listen to him. Now think back with me into the idea of sacrifices in the Old Testament and the importance of the sacrificial system. Starting up here in the left-hand corner, top left-hand corner, we see it first in the story of Cain and Abel, the sons of Adam and Eve, very early on in human history. I mean, really early on in human history, you have the emergence of an idea of some kind of thought, some kind of process that included the importance of sacrifice, that sacrifice of an animal. Because the sacrifice of Abel was pleasing to God, but Cain's sacrifice was not. And there's more than one reason to understand that. And my purpose isn't to get into why the sacrifice of the animal was accepted and the sacrifice of Cain was not, because it wasn't just about being an animal, I believe, or being a grain offering. It was because of the heart and had to do with it. It had to do with a heart of worship and love for God. But even in this early on second generation of the Bible, you have the sacrifice, and we see a little bit about the heart of God and the heart of man and how important it was to the connection between God and man, how important the sacrifice was that Cain and Abel brought. And then we can look at quite a few other stories, but move ahead a little bit to Abraham and Isaac and how God called this man Abraham. He promised him descendants as many as the stars of the sky, and promised him a land that he and his descendants would live on and live in. And then, kind of before all that began to take place, God told Abraham to take the promised son up on the mountain and sacrifice him. Wow. Man, that's something for us to think about. Now, what? Why would God do that? The idea of sacrifice there. and what that meant. Why did God ask Abraham to sacrifice his son, the son of promise? So that's another picture of sacrifice. And we know that God, his agent, his angel, held the hand of Abraham when he raised the knife to show his obedience. And said, no, don't do that. And there was the ram in the thicket. Think of that, the sacrifice. And there's a bunch of stories, but I'm going to quickly name four of them. The third one that I want to mention is the Passover lamb and how important this whole idea of the deliverance of the Israelite people were in the Passover door. That was one of our main themes in Bible school. And we talked about the Passover door every night of Bible school and a little bit about it and why and what it meant. And why was it that God chose that and he chose the lamb? That they were to take the lamb and kill the lamb and cook the meat and eat it for the dinner and take the blood and put it on the doorpost. And in that obedience, there would be the passing over of that home. So you have, again, the sacrifice, the lamb. And then, if we just think in general of the Old Testament, and the animal sacrifices, day after day and week after week and month after month and year after year, the people were to bring their animals to be sacrificed. And we kind of scratch our heads to understand how that can change or bring them into a relationship with God. And we certainly try to understand the mindset and why that was and what the blood of the animals meant and what it did for them, and also where it was inadequate to bring the people into a living relationship with God. But you have this idea of the lamb being sacrificed. And then fifthly, we go to Jesus. And we think about what Jesus did when he went to the cross. He's called the Lion and the Lamb in many different places and ways. And he becomes the sacrifice for sin. And so Jesus becomes the sacrifice for sin. He becomes the sacrifice once and for all. He becomes the eternal sacrifice. All the things that we associate with the meaning of the cross and that Jesus is the sacrifice. So you have all these pictures from history, God's relationship with man, Cain and Abel again, and Abraham and Moses and the Israelite people and the prophets and all the things about sacrifice. And then we come to our day, the New Testament day that we live in. We fast forward to the church and we hear this word and see this word in Romans chapter 12 and know that God is speaking to us in a way that's connecting all of these sacrifices, but in a way that's unique and different and for us today. How do we understand the meaning of sacrifice now? We've seen it all in the past in relation to the blood of the animals, the sacrificial animal that came. But how does that prepare us today? Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Boy, there's a lot in that verse. Therefore, I urge you. Paul uses, again, I said this morning how in Matthew chapter 14, Matthew used a very strong word to describe what Jesus said to his disciples when he said, go get on the boat now. Paul used a very strong word in chapter 12. He says, I urge you. It's like I think Paul writes the first 11 chapters of the book of Romans and he comes to the 12th chapter and he says, okay, now we're coming to a very important point or apex or something that is so important for you to hear right here in chapter 12. I urge you. The chapter actually begins with the word therefore. And we've all heard about therefores. If it's there, it's for a reason. And I think that is so true of this chapter and this thought, because the link to chapter 11 to chapter 12 is very important. Why did Paul say, therefore, I urge you? Paul uses this strong term that says, you've got to hear this, you've got to know this. And I believe in the church today, this is one of the things that we've got to hear and we've got to know. We've got to embrace. We've got to believe. Us people, all of us, young people, old people, all of us have got to embrace the idea of the sacrifice that Paul talks about here. He says, I lost my place here. Jesus became the sacrifice for sin. And in chapter 12, he says, therefore, what comes after is very dependent on what comes before. Before, in chapter 11, is the acknowledgement of some very important truths about God. Number one, the majesty of God. And I won't go back through to read all the references, but if you look at all the references, even in the book of Romans, but especially in chapter 11, you have these great statements about who God is. And Paul says these things about God. He talks about the majesty of God. Therefore, because of the majesty of God, you need to hear about sacrifices and what he's calling you to do. The second thing, you just look back up in verse 33, a few verses up, you'll see it. The unsearchable judgments of God. That God is in charge. He knows. He has astounding knowledge and understanding of humanity and human nature. And God's got that covered. He knows what we need. He knows what sin has done. He is a majestic God. His judgments are unsearchable. And I'll just name a few more. His incredible love, a couple of chapters below, when we read about how high and deep and wide is the love of God. Because of the love of God, therefore, chapter 12, verse 1. His heart, that all the world will be saved. In chapter 11, Paul says several times that his heart's desire, Paul's, was that all would hear the gospel and respond. And all throughout chapter 10, 11, and 11, we talked about on Wednesday night about 2 months ago. It seemed like it was forever ago. We talked about all the references in chapter 10 and 11 to God saying that he strongly desires that the whole world will come to God, to the gospel and salvation, that the whole world will be saved. Because of that, therefore, chapter 12, and then I'll add this one to it, God's call for us to live a holy life, which has been referred to in these chapters before, and the whole call to holy living, to be set apart by God, to be sanctified. God wants you to be sanctified. He wants you to have this unique relationship with Him. Because of that, therefore, because of that, chapter 12. And so now Paul's about to say about being a living sacrifice is because of what he knows about God, his incredible being and his revelation. So chapter 12, verse 1, therefore I urge you, brothers. So I come to that point that I made earlier. This is for the believer. This is for Christians. This message really isn't for people who haven't chosen to follow Christ. Doesn't make sense. It won't help them. But if you have chosen to follow Christ, boy, is verse 1, this idea and this thought, such an important thing for you to get. Therefore, Paul says, I urge you, brothers. Paul's saying, get serious. This is for the church. This is for the identity of my believers and my followers, for all those who would be my disciples. Hear this. Brothers. Paul uses that term brother several times in the book of Romans, and here he adds it to the urgency. He's writing to the church. I believe he's writing to the church at Mifflinburg. And this verse and this truth is as important to us today as it was to the church at Rome when he wrote it and sent it long ago. He says, in view of God's mercy. He said, because of God's mercy, it opens this gate, this doorway, this possibility that would not be there without God's mercy. Without the character of God that has mercifully allowed Jesus to be the sacrifice for our sins. God, because of his great mercy, has made this possible. God is giving an opening. He's giving an opportunity. And because of his faithfulness, You and I have the opportunity to become the living sacrifices. He calls us in that to be a continuous sacrifice. Let me read the verse again. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Living sacrifices, ongoing sacrifices. See, that's a different concept than the animal that was brought to the temple and for the sacrifice, the throat was cut and the blood was let out, and then the priest would pronounce that God had forgiven the people and the sacrifice had been done, and that sacrifice is over. It does its work for that day. It takes care of the need right there. But here Paul uses a term that says ongoing sacrifices over and over and over again. God wants us to become something much better than those animals that were brought and were sacrificed. That God wants us to be continuously that sacrifice, to continuously be at that point of living out what he wants us to do. In the Old Testament, the sacrifice was given all at once. Let me catch up here a little bit. But God calls us to a living, continuous heart, mind, soul service to him. Not one and done. Christianity is not a get your fix at the altar and you're done. It's not go get your second fix at the altar and you're done. Although we talk about stages and steps in our relationship with God, salvation is one of them. When we come to that point of understanding that we're sinners and that blood on the doorpost represents something that Jesus does on the cross, and when he dies on the cross, we enter into that first step. So salvation is the first step, and it's so important. We must be at that point. I was thrilled in Bible school because it seemed to me like kids really got that. That they understand it's a step to take toward God. And then there's growth and there's understanding and perception. And then there's that time of full commitment or full surrender. Whatever word you want to use it, where you understand that you can give everything in your life to God and say, God, take my life and make it what you want it to be. I'm not holding back on anything. Whatever you call it, commitment, sanctification, but you say, God, I'm all in. I'm all yours, and it will be continuous heart, soul, and mind. But then that's also a part of the journey. That's not the end. It's the living day by day in relationship with him that he's talking about and calling us here, putting all of us into every minute of every day to honor him. That's the kind of holiness that God wants. Your life. All the time. It's not we turn the switch on, we turn the switch off, but every moment of every day, living life surrendered to him, that's pleasing to God. That's what he wants for our hearts and our lives. Holy and pleasing to God. That's the kind of sacrifice that he wants for my life and for your life. That's what God wants. That's all he wants. He just wants everything. That's all. He just wants it all. And when you let it go, and God has all of you, wow, wow, what God can do in your life, in your spirit, in your heart. The love that God can give you for people is incredible when you give him everything. When you say, God, I'm not holding back anything. It's amazing what God can do on the inside of your heart. And cause you to have a sense of closeness to him that's so precious. Being living sacrifices, totally. God wants all of you. That might seem like a crazy thing to hear. That's all God wants. All of you. And he loves you so much, he's going to help you. When you give him all that you are, then that don't make you perfect. That doesn't mean that you will have perfect understanding, perfect reaction, perfect judgment. That's not what giving all of yourself to God as a living sacrifice it means. It means that you're saying, God, you take me and make what you want me to be. I'm all yours. I'm not holding back. That is a special relationship with God. I think Paul was trying to explain that to the Romans and say, church, early church, understand how important holiness is and you living that out. That's all God wants, everything. And then he says, at the end of this verse, this is your spiritual act of worship. You know, there's so much talk about what worship should be, especially in the area of music. We all know that. We all have opinions. We all, you know, what we like, what we don't like, what we think is better, what we don't think is better, and all that. And, you know, maybe because I'm not a musician, that might help me in this area. Because quite frankly, I don't care about that compared to this. I don't care what we do in this church about music. That's a little strong because I have my preferences, and you know that. But compared to this, what we do when we come together and what form we take is really not very important. What's important is that we are holy and pleasing and given to God, and our hearts are saying, God, you take us and make us what you want to be. I'm not saying that to downplay worship, because we do that together constantly, all the time. So I hope it didn't come out that way. I hope it came out that that's really not what worship is, though. This is your spiritual act of worship, making yourself available to God every moment, saying, God, I'm yours. I'm yours. You know, maybe another way to think about it is God wants you to be available to him. This picture here is kind of a strange picture. I don't know if you can even can see it. Now, here's this young man, I guess. I think he's laying across the stump. I mean, he's just totally out there, you know, totally given. That's the idea of it anyway. And I think to me, it just caught my attention of how God wants us all given up. God, take my life. Take my past, take my future, and may I be completely yours, completely given to him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight for the call to holiness, the call to be living sacrifices. Lord, I realize that all of us that are here tonight, we've come here because we expected to hear something from your word and your truth, or somebody brought us here. But God, I pray that you would help us to know how important that we be living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to you. God, that decisions would be made inside of us that say, God, I'm going all the way with you, no matter what my parents do or my spouse or someone in my life. I want to be your living sacrifice. I want to be your living sacrifice the rest of my life, and how important that commitment can be. How important even tonight the decision and the choice can be in our heart to say, God, I want to be sanctified. I want to be a completely given sacrifice to you. Help us, God, to make that prayer and say that to you. And God, you can take that and you can form us and you can shape us and you can make us what you want us to be. God, show us your truth, teach us your truth, and change us where you want to, I pray. And use us, I pray, for your purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thanks for being here tonight.